da nas hoćemo govoriti o strahu. Strah. Strahu. Ker tu nihče se ne boji ničega, ničesar. Nikogar. Posebej za danas sem naučil dveh besed. Paraskevi dekatrojfobijo. This is one better. This is fear of fright. To je strah petka 13. Ali je še boljše. Heksakosioj, heksakotoj, heksafobija. This is fear of number 666. ja, to je strah. Nobody ran away, so nobody is suffering this two particular phobias. A few days ago, one friend wrote me a letter saying about some training in Tai Chi that was conducted in her city, and some devotee is leading that training, so she goes there regularly, and she from time to time she meets devotees there, and she saw one very new devotee in that training, and she immediately, because she saw her in the temple before, and she immediately noticed that she looks very different. That devotee, she's a very new devotee, just maybe one or two times, a few times in the temple. And so she was curious, how does she differ from others? You know, there's like, I don't know, 50 people or 70 people. And this new devotee looked very different from others. So she started observing and started thinking how to define, what's this special quality that makes the difference between this person and others. And after a long observation, finally she came to conclusion that this new devotee differs from everybody else by the fact that she emanates some sense of, some air of fearlessness. Some less fear, or rather certainty of protection. She feels there is some protection from the side of Krishna. And this is the expected correct result of practicing Krishna consciousness. Of course, within healthy limits. We do not recommend jumping from the high buildings, low buildings also. Be careful, unless you are trained. this is also what Bhishmadev says in the Mahabharata, that this is the highest charity that you can give to somebody. In the Mahabharata, there are two big books, very philosophical books about behavior of the ruler, Anushasika Parva, Anushasana Parva, and Shanti Parva, very philosophical. And many, many things are described there. And several things, several times, because Yudhishthir is a ruler, so for rulers, it's one of the first things, how to give charity. So he repeats this question several times. What do you think is the best charity? What do you think is the most effective charity? What do you think is the most dear charity? And so he repeats practically the same question several times. And Bhishmadev replies, once he says, the best charity is gold, which is obvious. Then he says, another time, the best charity is land, which is also, you know, it's even better than gold. Then he says, the best charity is food. Because you eat it and then, you know, it's already with you. Mostly. I mean... And but there is one thing that he emphasizes, and which is emphasized also in other places, and which is also confirmed by Krishna in the Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto. He says that the top charity, the highest charity, is fearlessness, or protection, or security. This is also what Krishna promises in the Bhagavad Gita. So certainly most, if there is one verse that most devotees know, there was some study conducted by Satsarupa Maharaj about 20 years ago. He proclaimed that this is the most quoted verse from Srila Prabhupada according to his research. So this verse probably everybody knows. This is the verse, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha isyami ma shachaha, where Krishna says, give up all varieties of dharma. Dharma can mean religion, dharma can mean process, dharma can mean method for achieving anything. Many meanings. whatever meaning you take, give it up. And mam ekam sharanam vrajam. And Prabhupada usually translates, just surrender unto me. In the Sanskrit, though, if you check, it the surrender is sharanam vraja. Take shelter. Take shelter, sharanam. So sharanam means protection. Because surrender, we have some negative thoughts sometimes. Surrender, it's like, you know, Hände hoch, ah. Yes, and yes, I surrender. This is not what Krishna demands from us. He says, take shelter, which is something nice, which everybody wants to have. Shelter. And even if you analyze Sharanagati, this is one of the six elements of Sharanagati. Rakshishyatiti Vishvaso, having firm faith, Vishvaso, or trust. Krishna will definitely protect me. So if you want to take any other meaning of surrender, still, it is explained that surrender means I accept, Krishna will protect me. Krishna will protect me. Also, yes, so this is what, and if you are afraid of any obstacles because of your sins, do you have any sins in your life? if you still remember what it means, in some countries they don't. I remember my next neighbor from the next room complained that they have to retranslate the Bhagavad Gita in one Scandinavian language because sin has lost its meaning in the language. So they are puzzled which word to use. So at any rate, some obstacles. So if you are afraid of any obstacles, then Krishna says, Mashuchaha. Don't worry. Yes. Don't worry, or don't be afraid, which is the same word. Don't be afraid. And this is one of the six ways to actually analyze Shastra. According to Karma Mimamsa, Jaimini, Baldevi Debhushan, Madhvacharya, all the acharyas will use this list. It's a standard list for analyzing, if you want to analyze some Shastra. So you can check. It's not always obvious. Some books, you know, some books are, or some works of art, they are quite difficult to analyze. So, even in Sanskrit. So, the six ways to understand a Shastra is apurva. What is the fresh result offered in the Shastra that other books do not offer? What is something special about this? Then, or unusual, or new. What's new in this in the Shastra? Abhyasa. What is repeated in the Shastra many times? What is in the Gita? What do we have repeated many times? Become my devotee. Yes, so that's important. Yes, become my devotee. Okay, fine. Of course, Krishna always adds something. Yes, that be equipoised and fight. Remember me and fight. Be absorbed in yoga and fight. And so he always says how to fight. Yes. What else is repeated oftentimes in the Gita? Very often. You are very dear to me. That devotee is very dear to me. Yomad bhakta samepriya. Krishna repeats this many times. 12th chapter and 4th chapter and then 18th chapter. Yes. And something that is repeated very often, not only in the Gita, but also in our normal lectures. What is very often repeated in our lectures? Yes! You are not this body. And not that body also. Sometimes it's said you're not your body. You're not your body. Which sometimes puzzles new guests. As Purnachanda Maharaj said that after one Sunday feast in America, one guest asked him, "But sir, the whole lecture you were saying that I'm not my body. But if I'm not my body, then whose body am I?" It's just the English, how to say, it's the Anglicism, yes? It's just the English. You cannot just say you are not body in English. You have to say either thee or this or your. But in translation, in fact, the normal translation is nisitelo. Nisitelo. This is it. And it means also you're not things connected to the body. You are not the situation, you are not the time, and all the other things are connected to the body. So, this is repeat abhyas. So that's the second thing, how to judge a shastra. Then Pal, what's the result offered in a shastra? Gita, what does Gita offer a lot? That if you do this, anybody who does this, then... Pardon? Yes, you attain me, you come to me, you will attain the spiritual world, you will no longer have to take birth and die, you will no longer have to undergo fear of death, and repeated death and birth. So this is a repetition. Okay, then, so abhyasa, phala, upapati. Upapati means, did I already count it four? Upapati is the logical connection. What is one logical conclusion that connects the whole Gita? That's Prabhupada's complaint against impersonalists who say that everybody is just one, just God, because it does not clarify other parts. So we need to find something that harmonizes all the parts. I remember this is what I loved about Bhagavad Gita from the very beginning, because before Krishna consciousness, I studied a lot of different philosophies and religions, and some religions say everything is one. I am you and you are me and we are all together. Yes. And it sounds like good and right. And others say surrender to God. And it also sounds correct. And others say that God, you know, you pray to God and God speaks to you from the heart. Also sounds correct. And so many different things are there. And they all seem to be correct. But when you put them together, they don't quite fit. You know, either, you know, we are, you know, if we are all one, why should I surrender? Right? But if, hence, it's logical, right? So Bhagavad Gita, with its explanation of three levels of the absolute truth, that there is Brahman, spirit, general spirit, of which we are all part, Krishna's effulgence, Krishna's little sparks, we are all Krishna's sparks, you big sparks, me little spark, some of you very big sparks, but sparks. And Krishna is the source of that effulgence. Then there is the super soul in every atom, in every heart, that's Krishna's expansion. And then there is the Supreme Person. So everything harmonized. So this is a harmonical conclusion that can unite all the different apparently contradictory statements. That's called upapati. However, there is one more very interesting point which helps to analyze the Shastra, and it is that how the Shastra begins and how the Shastra ends. How the book begins and how it ends. It's also considered to be a sort of expertise, mastery, how one can organize some piece of art. And at least in the hero story, which is the usual template for the Hollywood movies, there is some either initial or implied state of harmony, and then there must be some problem, no story. So don't complain about problems. No conflict, no problem, no story. Right? Boring. And then some fighting, then helpers, then acquiring abilities, transformations, becoming a new person, and coming back to, again, state of perfection on a different level. It's still circular, some kind of beginning and end. There is something something connecting these two parts. So it's upakrama sanhara in Sanskrit. This is called how it begins and how it ends. So in the Bhagavad Gita also, if you look, the last word of the Bhagavad Gita, the verse you quoted, is mashuchaha, don't worry. And if you look at the very first instruction of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, this is 2.11, the very beginning of Krishna's instructions, where Krishna calls, delicately calls Arjuna a fool. after Arjuna's, that was not before Arjuna surrendered. Arjuna first accepted. He said, teach me. So then Krishna said, okay, you talk like an intelligent person. But intelligent people don't actually speak like that. That's what he said. So his very first word is ashochan. Ashochan. Which is the same word as mashuchaha. Ashochan means not worthy of grief, of lamentation. You are lamenting about something which is not worthy of lamentation. Because wise people do not lament. Gatasun agatasunscha. Do not lament about that which has life air and that which does not have life air. It can be translated as they lament neither living nor dead, because the soul never dies. That's the straightforward explanation. There is more fancy explanation from Baldevi Debhushan Acharya saying that intelligent people do not lament either about the gross body or about the subtle body. Asun, gatasun, with life airs, without life airs. In other words, neither about the situation of the gross body nor of your mind. Mind and the subtle body. So, his first word is the same as the last word. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Or no fear. No fear. This is also in line with the Bhagavad Gita. And if you see, Srila Prabhupada is famous as Abhay Charanaravinda. And this means, that's his name, Abhay Charanaravinda Das, initiated name given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Servant of the lotus feet of the Lord, which grant fearlessness. Which grant fearlessness. Would you like to be fearless, or are you afraid to raise your hand? Yes. So, of course, certain fear is natural, and a fearless person is not somebody who has no fear. A person who has no fear is probably a person somewhat psychologically or mentally deficient, let's say. So, they say that a courageous person is not a person who has no fear, but a person who does not obey fear. Right? One has fear, and one analyzes what is proper or improper, and then acts not based on the fear, but based on what's proper. Shakespeare says that a coward dies 100 deaths, whereas the brave one only once. Yeah. So, fear is all right. Of course, unless you are afraid of Friday the 13th, or that, there are so many fears in this world. Clowns. There's a fear like that. There's a list of hundreds of phobias. I'm a little embarrassed to laugh about these. it's not, how to say, to make fun of the phobias, although there are very funny videos on YouTube about phobias. people meeting with different phobias. And about 60 or 70 years ago, they were considered to be incurable. They were considered to be the worst and most difficult psychological problem. Phobia. Most deeply ingrained. Like 60. Whereas nowadays, if you see, they call it cognitive behavior therapy, which is basically reprogramming your mind. it gives about 90% success rate for phobias, which just like 60 or 70 years ago, they were considered to be incurable. They were considered to be the worst problem, that the person cannot do anything about it. And the first one who was trying to deal with them was the famous or infamous founder of NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, Bandler, yes. That's what he had, because he found that he can cure so many things. So he asked the psychiatrist, what's the most difficult thing? And they told him phobias. So then he found some people with phobias, and then he put an announcement in newspaper, I give $20 to... Some people are afraid of children, you know. Some people are afraid of the sound that they make. We are not afraid of children, especially if they are taken care of, their parents, nicely. He put up an announcement, and then he found people who successfully got rid of these phobias. And then he started curing these phobias in just seconds, literally, in just like, that was his problem, that he said he couldn't, he would usually cure most problems in 20 seconds, and then he had to invent how to, engage the person for the rest of the time so the person doesn't, you know, doubt that it actually happened. But if you study whatever method is used in whatever school, even completely opposite schools for improving the condition of a person, you will see that they all deal with the same principle that Krishna offers in the Bhagavad Gita. Because surrendering to Krishna means surrendering one's ego. And means surrendering one's false ego. Surrendering one's false ego. So whatever school... I'm a curious person, so I examined many different schools and approaches, and all of them, one way or another, they tried to adjust the person's self-concept, false ego. So we tried to surrender the false ego completely. Yes. This is what Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, not only him, I think it's quite famous, called die before dying. Yeah, die before dying. This is also the idea of the Christian Easter holiday. That, you know, you're supposed... This is the idea of initiation. This is the idea of initiation. You know, you're supposed to be reborn. This is you're supposed to die as an old person and become a twice born. You're called Dvija, twice born. Born again. how are you twice born? So, yeah, twice born means you're born in spiritual life. In fact, the good news is we don't need to be, in fact, born again at all, because we are already spirit souls. This is what Krishna explains. Already, this is who you are, eternally. If you discover your true nature, you are spirit. You are Krishna Das. And you are servant of Krishna. And you are immortal. If you simply realize this, if you simply accept this, that immediately removes all fear, if you realize 100%, or 99% of fear, if you realize it 99%. Actually, I don't know the exact proportion between these two. Apparently, I think if you realize it to 1%, it removes a lot of fear. Some people sometimes have panic attacks. Panic attacks, I don't know if any of you have it. Apparently this looks like a person feels like they are dying. They like they have a heart attack, and they suffocate, choking, and it's very scary. And it's a complicated condition. And on internet, there are many advertisements which say that come and pay. You're not having a panic attack, no? Who? Pay so much money and we will tell you one big secret which immediately stops all the panic attacks. And amazingly enough, what they describe as this secret that can stop the panic attack is something very similar to surrender again. Is accepting that whatever is happening is happening, and it's okay. It's not death, and even if it is death, it's okay. This is a very easy way to avoid any fear. Accept the worst outcome. What's the worst that can happen? We can die. So anyway, so just accept that you can die, and that's it. And you can be happy the rest of your life. This is also one of the reasons why devotees are smiling more than others, because we have a lot of acceptance. Yes, we die. We all die. Not only we die, we get sick. We know that there are four truths about this existence, that everybody, well, have taken birth, okay, and that's one thing, miserable. Then we become sick, and then we grow old, if we are fortunate to survive so long, and then we die. So we accept that, yes, this is part of life, and that's it. So therefore, we can worry about some other things, about some higher things. Yes. I find that this is often a very quick way to make people to raise humor, to improve the mood of the people, devotees. Tell them that please remember that we will all die. We will all die. And usually devotees, okay. True. Okay, yeah. What's the point of worrying about anything else? True, we just die. So now we can dedicate ourselves to what's eternal. In other words, this is what Krishna says in the second chapter. Tasmat aparihari arthe natam shochitum arhasi. Janmasya hi dhruvo mritu dhruvam janam mritasya. That whatever is taking birth will die. Whatever dies will take birth. So therefore, why worry about what is inevitable? So we just accept these things. That yes, body dies, but I, the soul, is different. So therefore, we need to find the life of that which is undying. And that's very easy here. If you connect yourself in service with the Supreme. And the very simple way to do this, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. now, who is not afraid to ask a question? Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Can you expect 100% protection from Krishna if you are not 100% surrendered?
I'm a little sick. It takes me time to process. I just... No, it's, yeah, okay. Thank you for this question. This is a very good question. It's a very important. Yes. This is what Krishna says in the Gita in the 9th. It's actually a secret, what you say. Krishna says that in the 9th chapter, that apichat suduracharo 9:30. Bhajate mamananeba sadureva samandeva samengavesetohisa. That says that even if a devotee who has me as a goal and who puts his trust in bhakti as the path does very bad things, you should consider him a good person, sadhur, and kshipram bhavati dharmatma. He quickly becomes righteous. And shashvat chantim nigachati, he achieves peace. And then Arjuna asks him, what if he dies before he becomes righteous? What if he dies before that? So then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna makes big eyes and he says, Kaunteya, pratijanihi, oh Kaunteya, how can you doubt? Take cardals. Go to where there are people gathered and bang ridangas and say, my devotee never perishes. Even if he dies before becoming righteous, he doesn't perish. Which to some of us may sound strange. Jai Shishi Panja Tattva Ki Jai. But Krishna means that neha vikramo nashasti pratyavayo navidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatovayat. Even the smallest advancement on this path leading to him is never lost. Even if you just started a little bit, the smallest intention or movement inside, Krishna already sees that, and this is some eternal action. This is not an action of the body. This is the action of the soul. And so Krishna, you know, like in a computer, saves the progress. You know, you work on, anybody lost some files, you know? So Krishna saves your progress always. And the next life, he allows you to continue at least from that point. So, and he creates all the opportunities for you to continue again and again and again and again. So, in this way, your work is never lost. Krishna is saving, meaning backing up your work and helping you to continue till you reach perfection completely. Is it okay? Okay, Devavrata Prabhu and Luka Prabhu. So, I am 4 minutes in the red. But I will brave. Which should I pick? Let's start with Luka Prabhu.
Yes.
Yeah, in that sense, we are accepting that. This is why devotion, bhakti is devotional philosophy is so wonderful that it accepts every philosophy, but it puts it in a proper place without contradiction. In other words, oneness is part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. Abheda, achintya bheda, abheda tattva. So we don't argue about that. So in other words, impersonalism is part of our philosophy. But yes, we are all one, that's true, but different also. Yes, yes.
So I don't care actually where there is place for this impersonal realization. How can that be, actually?
Well, effulgence, you know, effulgence between the Vaikuntha planets, you can just, you know, shine there and think, ah, I'm shining, he's shining, we're all shining, everything is shining. Until you get better ideas. All right. Okay, and now a last controversial question from Devavrata Prabhu.
Thank you for the wonderful lecture. I would like to ask, how...
You're not afraid, huh? Good answer.
Depends on the answer. What Krishna says, surrender unto me, become my devotees. Now, oftentimes, we judge other people whether they are devotees or not based on their external behavior, looks. But even though Krishna says, bow down to me, or offer me obeisances and so forth, it's probably not so much
According to Krishna, what's the internal? Same verse I quoted, 9:30. Very hope-giving verse. He's saying that even if one is very bad in his behavior, right? So every doubt about this person, still, he says, don't worry. If, two things that he says, ananya bhak, and apichesu duracharo bhajate mamananebhag sadurevasan samyak vyavasito. Okay, so no other goal and no other path. Right? It's not that the person tries to exploit bhakti, that, yeah, bhakti will purify me, but the person says, even if I, let me go to hell, let me suffer, doesn't matter. Still, I will never stop trying to worship Krishna, or serve Krishna, some way or another, and I will never select any other goal for myself. So, if you always choose Krishna as the ultimate goal, as your ultimate goal, and you always choose bhakti as your best method, then Krishna says, yes, this is, I say you should consider him a sadhu, you should consider him a good person. Okay, they're pulling away my mic. So that's the answer, and I'm only 8 minutes over time. So do not fear, okay, as long as you chant Hare Krishna, at least sometimes, 16 rounds a day, not a day of Brahma, but... Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Vanchakalpa Tribhyo Sthakritaḥ.